We're looking at the end of Matthew chapter 24 today, and the particular verse I'd like to draw to your attention is verse 42 and 44. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So this is about being prepared for the Lord's coming. And we see the reading, we took it up from verse 32, which speaks about the parable of the fig tree. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. It's amazing how God's providences work. They don't suddenly come upon us, but God uses the things of nature to show us the way that he works. Now we're in January at the moment. It's difficult at the moment to imagine that spring is around the corner. But I have heard that in Cornwall, daffodils have been sighted, and that was in December. And if you were to examine the trees carefully, you might even see that the branches, the edges of the branches, are slightly more tender than they were a month ago. Because although the trees have, as it were, they've lost their leaves and gone into a form of hibernation, yet they've not died. They are waiting, indeed preparing for the spring. And all the events of life are being prepared for a great crescendo. Well, we don't just know this from Matthew chapter 24, but if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, there Paul sets it out very plainly. He says this, and there be familiar words. We mention them at the Bible study. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, why does he what is he doing? Well, in verse 10, we read that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There's going to be a gathering together in Christ. And we might see that as the final judgment. See, the angels will be gathering in the elect. The Lord Jesus will gather in all. All will be gathered in for that great day. And so everything, every event, is pointing forward to that great day. And the Lord Jesus had gone through the signs that the Jews should watch out for. And those signs were pointing, in fact, to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And there were warnings for believers to escape from that city, for the Son of Man was coming. Now, the Son of Man, in that instance, the Lord Jesus didn't come, as it were, in person to destroy the city. He came via the Roman armies who destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. Verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And this was really speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem, although of course it's also speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus at the end of the age. So the Lord Jesus was speaking, in a sense, that he was dealing with two separate issues. One, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the other, the coming of the Lord Jesus. Great events were coming on the world, which would be life-threatening for the people of that land. And yet if they listened to the Lord Jesus' warnings, that they would escape that judgment. We can see that a little bit earlier in the passage, from verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So we can see that there were warnings being given how even God's people could escape the temporal judgments that were coming upon Jerusalem in AD 70. Well, that's a lesson to us, isn't it? That if God is concerned about the life of his people in this world, as well, of course, as our final destiny at the end of this world. And so we are seeing great matters come upon this earth at the moment. And this is speaking not of a definite judgment that's going to fall on any particular nation from Scripture, although we know that all nations will be judged at the end. But we are given general warnings of what will happen before the end of the world, and that there will be great happenings that take place, and as a woman giving birth, there are birth pains that are coming on this world. We see that from the beginning. But if we just take it up from verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And we are in that time, aren't we? But we will, that no doubt that word pestilences has jumped out of the passage at you as it's read, because we are currently enduring a pestilence, and a pestilence that none of us have experienced in our lifetime. And while there have been such pestilences, whether they've been of such worldwide significance, it's difficult to say. Certainly more lives could have been lost, and there are many mercies to be grateful for. But this pestilence has reminded us of the shortness of life. You might have thought yourself how you enjoyed having parties with friends, dinner parties, perfectly normal activities, but curtailed, stopped. You can't go to a restaurant with your friends at the moment because of this pestilence. We've been brought short in our daily lives. And friends, we need to take that as a warning. A warning of what is coming, because as we see from these words of the Lord Jesus, these are the beginning of sorrows. There'll be more to come. Why is that? Because this world is being prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus in judgment. The question for you and for me is, will we be ready at that day? And the Lord Jesus reminds us of those who are not ready. He says in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, let's just leave it there for the moment. But what is it that men were doing in the days of Noah? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Well, you might ask yourself, what's wrong with that? In fact, one of the problems, one of the sadnesses of the current pandemic is that marriages now are, I think, reduced, if I'm right, to six people can attend a marriage, and you can only have a marriage in exceptional circumstances. And that is grievous for our nation, that we're in that position. Marriage is a good thing. Indeed, the Bible says it's honourable in all, the marriage bed undefiled. So marriage is honourable in all, the marriage bed undefiled. Friends, so weddings are a good thing. Eating and drinking are good things. We can't survive without them. So why is it that this was a problem? The reason, of course, is that life does not consist merely of eating and drinking. It doesn't consist merely of marriage. And there are, unfortunately, many who see life as consisting in just those things. And so from a very early age, men and women are prepared for marriage. Marriage is, as it were, the highest pinnacle. Of course, the men are also destined and hopefully prepared for high places. And they will be rich and powerful in this world. They will marry well, they will have families, and their name will be perpetuated. Yet, it's such a blind way of living, isn't it? Look at Psalm 49. It reminds us just how futile such ambitions are. Verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honour abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. How tragic. There are some ancient houses and ancient families in this land, and one sees how their possessions have been passed down from generation to generation. But at the same time, we see other families and their wealth has gone. And it's dissipated, it's no longer with them, it's taken by others. Tragedy has struck those families, they've not continued, their names have been forgotten. And anyway, even if a family does continue for hundreds or even over 1,000 years, what does that benefit them in the long run? For this world will perish, all its riches will be swept away. The problem at the time of Noah, it seems, is that all except Noah and his family were just concerned about surviving in this world. They weren't looking at the signs, and they were being told about them, because we're told that Noah, in 2 Peter chapter 2, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but no one listened to his message. And so they perished in a day with suddenly the heavens open, just as Noah had warned that they would. And no doubt the people thought, well, this is impossible, it's never going to happen. We're never going to have a flood, it's never happened in the past. Why should it happen now? But it happens because God said it would happen. And he does nothing that he doesn't reveal to his prophets, to his servants, the prophets. We read that in Amos. And so he has warned this world. He warned this world about the flood. And he's warning himself. He hasn't even warned us through prophets. He's warned us through our prophet, priest, and king, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is coming soon and that we need to be ready. So going back to Matthew 24, I read verse 38, then verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Already mentioned that there's going to be a separation. There'll be a separation between God's elect and the rest of this world. There'll be a separation both in life and death. And these verses are a difficult fully to understand what they mean, but the obvious reading is that two shall be alive, one shall be taken. And I read an obituary, I think I may have mentioned it to you, I think I did. It was about 2 weeks ago, where an officer was running towards a trench, and just before he reached, he was short of the trench, and his colleague got to the trench and dived into the trench just at the moment that a shell landed in the trench and exploded. One was taken and the other left. So it is that two can go to bed in the same bed in the middle of the night. One awakes to find that the other has been taken, is dead. And there is a separation coming for all of us from those that we love most. And I think that's perhaps one of the warnings of the flood. You know, we give ourselves to our friends and our families to such an extent that when they are taken, we have nothing left. And yet, all of us will be taken. All of us one day will be taken from this world. And there is an uncertainty about when that's going to happen. Even in old age, one doesn't know. I mean, the case of my own family, it was always assumed that my mother, who was 15 years younger than my father, would outlive my father by several years. In fact, my mother died over two years before my father did. You see, even in old age, you can't be sure of how long you're going to live. There is that uncertainty about the number of days we have in this world. And friends, we need to lay that to heart, don't we? We need to take nothing for granted in that regard. Because James 4:13, something I preached about at the beginning of the pandemic, reminds us, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and gain. We see that we may well have been able to say that. I had plans to go to Australia. I bought my ticket. I wasn't to go because all flights were cancelled. Sure, we've all had that experience in the last 12 months. Whereas verse 14, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Friends, where are we putting our trust? And the Queen said, "We will meet again." Well, it was a brave thing to say, and for many, no doubt, that will prove true. What if one thing is true is that we will all meet again at the Day of Judgment? There's no certainty that we will all meet again, even next week. Well, I hope we do. We're all look after ourselves and are in reasonably good health. We have every expectation that we will meet again next week. But it is no certainty, is it? Proverbs 27 verse 1 says something very similar. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Friends, our time in this world is uncertain. Just as the Lord's coming is uncertain, because we don't know what is going to come first, whether we will be taken or whether the Lord Jesus will come and call time in on this world. But whether we are taken in death or whether we are taken because the Lord Jesus is coming, we need to be about our Master's business, so when that time comes, we will not be taken by surprise. Verse 42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." So there are two aspects then, aren't there? There's watching. And then the Lord gives a helpful parable, borrowed from a situation in this world. "Who then," verse 45, "is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that good evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Friends, that's a warning to us, isn't it? You see, the Lord has gone. He has, the goodman of the house, has departed. He is in heaven at the moment. We know from John 14, verse 1 and 2, that he is even now preparing our home in heaven. John 14, just to remind you, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for his people. But there is a duty for those who are left behind. We have been given, as it were, our duties. We have been put in charge of his house, of course his house being his church. And duties are expected of the servant. But know this, verse 43, "If the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up." You see, even in this world, people are wise to look after their things. Before they go to bed at night, they'll lock the front door. They will do their best to make sure that no thief can come in and steal their possessions. And that's a picture for us as Christians. Are we looking after our house? What is our house in this context? Well, isn't it our souls? Aren't our souls the most valuable part of our bodies, because they will live, of our person, I should say, because they're going to live forever? We won't allow the enemy to steal what God has given us. The Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. See, there is a danger, isn't there? That if we live lives that are ungodly, if we allow sin to come in and take us over, then our love for the Lord Jesus goes cold. And then it's possible from that position to fall into sin. And then it's possible to go from there to finding that we've actually deceived ourselves into thinking that we've ever truly believed. Because a true Christian will not fall away forever. The true Christian will remain faithful. Even if there are ups and downs at the last day, he will be faithful. Friends, we need to watch our souls. We need to sit, make sure no one is going to break in and steal. And we need to watch each other as well, don't we? Because we've been given duties in God's house. And so we need to make sure that we perform those duties diligently, because we want to be those who are faithful and wise servants. You see, it's not just enough to be watching for the Lord's return, do we? I mean, it's rather like there was another obituary I read quite recently. It involved a man who was in Burma, and he'd become detached. He was from an Indian regiment, and he'd become detached from the rest of the regiment. And he had actually made his way back. Remarkably, he returned back several days later. And the first thing that happened to him is, while his friends were all absolutely delighted to see him, the sergeant major immediately reprimanded him because his rifle was dirty. And there's a sense in which you can be watching. You can be watching for the Lord's return. But are you actually ready for it? One thing is saying he's coming, and you can say it in a detached way. And people do, don't they? They're full of reading prophecy and saying, well, you know, this pandemic, we can see in the vaccination, potentially we could even see the mark of the beast in it. Well, I don't know if you can or can't. But what we can say is this: there's one thing to be watching for signs of the Lord's coming, and some people make it their focus in their Christian lives, to be watching all the signs and events in history. But are we preparing ourselves, watching and being ready? There's two duties. If we don't watch, it's difficult to be ready, isn't it? Because if you think about it in the context of your house being broken into, you have to set a watch. In other words, you have to make sure somebody is watching that a thief doesn't come in. So if you don't watch, you are immediately vulnerable. But at the same time, you could be watching, but unready. Friends, we need to make sure that our lives are in order. Have we made our peace with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we acknowledged that we are dead in trespasses and sins? We can do nothing to save ourselves. Neither church attendance nor good works will ever qualify any human being to go to heaven. Only the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we believed in that finished work of Christ on the cross for sinners? Have we repented of our sins? And have we believed on his name? That is what is required, and that is the gift of God. If you've not yet repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then don't put it off any longer, because it may become too late. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Whether it is in death, and friends, we have to acknowledge that particularly at the time of pandemic, people are being taken unexpectedly. We mustn't put it off. Bible says today is the day of salvation. We hear his voice. Let us hearken to it. Let us make our peace today, that we may say, yes, I know the Lord Jesus as my Saviour and my Lord, and I will serve him. And so when he comes back, I will be ready, because I will be a faithful servant, doing what he has commanded me to do. And if we are believing, let's not let our love grow cold. Let's not allow the busyness of this world to drown our spiritual life. It's so easy, isn't it? But let's not allow that to happen. Let's always be about the Master's business. Let us put him first. Let us remember early in the morning, the first thing we do is to seek him in prayer and in his word. Let's make sure we're diligent about attending the means of grace, attending at his house, attending where we can, the prayer meetings that are there to help us and enable us to pray together for the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So friends, let us take heed of this passage. The warning signs are there, aren't they? They're in this world, they're in the earth. They're warning signs not just so we can wait, sort of shut down and wait until they're over and come out again and live our lives normally. But they're warning signs that we're mortal, that life on this earth will soon end, and that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is coming back to be our judge. Are we ready for that day? If not, let us make sure that we are today. Let's make ourselves ready and remain ready. Amen.